100 Word Stories. Welcome to the 100 Word Stories podcast. I'm your host, Lawrence Simon. I swore an oath to write a 100 word story every day until the day I die. It's right there on the domain name. Well, I'm not dead yet, and neither are you. Let's write and share. Because today is Sunday, which means it's your turn. I call this thing the weekly challenge where I post a topic and you come up with the stories. The topic this week was border. We've got a lot of stories this week, so let's go ahead and get right to them. First up, it's the magical and wonderful Tura Brejianu. I hope I said that right. You know, it'd be kind of embarrassing after all this time to, get that. Here's Tura's story. I woke up too early.
General Wei quelled an invasion from the north, then returned to the south. He quelled an invasion from the west, then returned to the south. He was asked, "Why do you not institute permanent forces to guard the borders and protect the people?" General Wei replied, "The general's vision is wide, but the people's vision is narrow. When the people have peace, they do not see the use of the army, and their conscripted men serve without spirit. Only when they have fled from invaders and seen their fields burned and their villages looted do they understand and serve valiantly."
Thank you, Tura. That wacky General Wei. Next up, we have Thomas Petrie. He's got a few stories here from the awesome Northwest.
A quadrilogy. The borders were closed tight. They snapped shut at midnight. No one from Canada or Mexico was allowed into the United States. The president thought it was time to clean up some loose ends. He called all the troops home and ordered all foreign bases closed and deactivated. The airplanes were parked in the desert, and all the warships were put at anchor in the Gulf. Soldiers, Marines, and sailors were put to work on public projects. Thousands were on task cleaning cities, alleyways, vacant lots, roadways, and beaches. The president was elected for a third term by unanimous decree. Johnny was a handful for his Head Start teacher. Like his classmates, the teacher gave Johnny cartoon outlines to fill with colors. Crayon, pastel, tempera, felt tips, or colored pencils. Johnny never stayed inside the borders. He spent his art time coloring things outside the boxes. It was how Johnny ruled, even into his adult years. He was always outside the box, busting through the borders. After college, Johnny found work with Homeland Security, working on the Washington-Canada border. He helped hundreds of Northern Koreans find the weak spots in the border and led them to a new life in Seattle. The situations that Arthur found himself in always seemed to border on the catastrophic. At least that was how he acted. Over the year, he had 29 visits to various doctors and specialists for his back, feet, teeth, lungs, stomach, hernia, and bowels. He had excellent insurance and soon became addicted to the attention, sympathy, pain meds, and other things that accompanied his medical excursions. He would make everything sound as if he only had a few months to live and would open the most casual of social encounters with a display of his wounds, stitches, bandages, and open sores. Nina was diagnosed as a borderline psychotic. She drifted in and out of an agitated schizophrenic state, depending on her dosage of Haldol, Dolmetil, and Loractil, and some of the newer atypical antipsychotics like Risperdal, Zyprexa, and Ambify. None of her symptoms disappeared, but they were less intense and easier to cope with. Nina began attending the Hearing Voices group in town, but their voices and her own gave her contradictory advice when she listened carefully. She found a way to make it work for her, becoming very successful on community television and working online as a life coach.
Thank you, Thomas. Borderline psychotic. I've been along that border now and then. I never have my passport ready. Next up, we have Serendipity Haven. Ooh, I didn't rant all that much? Well, I'm working on that. I'm trying to keep it quick. That way you guys have more stories and less, well, me. Here's Serendipity.
This is the most godforsaken place in the entire world. And the crappiest job ever. Send for miles, in every direction. Every day passes without incident. The boredom is excruciating. Yet here I am. A solitary last bastion of military might in the middle of nowhere. Watching over an imaginary and invisible line. An arbitrary construct of the cartographer's whim. So I sit. In the desert heat. In my little steel hut. Day after day. Did I mention the boredom? So every day, I move my hut a little further forward, claiming even more new territory for my country.
Thank you, Serendipity. I'm saving after every time I add a file right now because I was having some weird video drivers, and not just in graphical programs. Well, they all are graphical in the end. But I had two windows going at once, and now my iPhone, the iTunes is getting all weird, and it's losing its library every now and then. It's really pissing me off. It's just annoying, you know? It's just annoying. One thing that's not annoying is when somebody who's been a lurker for a while decides to come out of the woodwork and do a story themselves. That's Richard. Let's all give him a big round of applause. I'm not going to do that because it'll scare the cat. And which cat will it scare? Well, whichever one gets scared by it. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and it's turned out to be two stories. People seem to do more than one. Everything's fine by me. It's cool. Welcome to the club, Richard, and let's see what you've got.
Hi, here's my first story. The title is Border Control. My holiday of a lifetime had been a long time coming, and now it was finally happening. As with all perfect plans, it rapidly went horribly wrong. A faulty alarm clock leading to panic and a potential missed flight out of Thailand. You go on and find a tuk-tuk while I pack your bags, ordered my roommate Suki. Waving me off, she shouted, I've put a little something in your bag for your journey. At the border control. Did you pack your bags yourself, sir? It seems the Bangkok Hilton was perfectly happy to accommodate another unexpected guest. Okay, another story. This one's called Borderline. George's wife always said that he was borderline OCD. The constant hand-washing, scrubbing down, and boxes of latex gloves scattered around the house drove her almost to distraction. Every day she'd tell him to loosen up and tell him he was crazy to take cleanliness to such extremes. Then, one day, he snapped. Driving into work, a pigeon smashed into his radiator grill. Having prized the gory mess free, George looked at his blood-stained hands. I'll show her. Arriving at work, foregoing the traditional hand-washing gloves, he breezed into theatre, and the waiting innards of his first patient.
Thank you, Richard, and congratulations on joining the club. Do we have a clubhouse? Do we have a secret handshake? Someone post up on YouTube where the handshake and the clubhouse. Well, the clubhouse you can put on Google Maps, I guess. I put it in some ocean. Some deep underwater. No, I don't like water. I don't know. Well, I've got a glass of water here, but you get the point. Next story? Sure, why not? Jeffrey Fisher. Two words that will strike fear in the hearts of all mollusks. Here's Jeffrey.
Hello, Jeffrey Fisher here with two borderline stories. No, wait, they're not borderline stories. They're real stories. I think they're real stories. So maybe just two stories on the topic of border. So here we go. This story is called Purgatory. The border town baked in the hot desert sun. The small abandoned mission wasn't distinguished enough to attract tourists. The corner store did double duty as a grocer's and a diner, serving food of questionable quality to indifferent patrons. The ramshackle motel was a fading remnant of the 1950s, renting rooms only to those stuck at the crossing overnight. The few remaining residents were held there by little more than inertia. Soon they too would be gone, and the desert would reclaim the town. This story is Urban Renewal. The border between the good part of town and the slums was not sharply defined. Instead, a gradual erosion of buildings delineated one area from the next. Real estate agents sold these houses with the claim that the area was in transition, a fib if not a bald-faced lie, unless the transition were to be measured by decades rather than years, and even then the direction was uncertain. Politicians decried the lack of upscale shopping in the border area, as though the working poor and those on and off food stamps were in desperate need of a Whole Foods. Eventually, enough tax money induced a national bookstore chain to open a store. The teenage gangs were grateful for a hangout, especially one with free Wi-Fi.
Thank you, Jeffrey. It's always good to hear from you. Here's someone that we're not hearing from. What? That's right. Maeve. She's back, but she didn't record the story. All right, hold on. Let me warm up. Me, 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 me. You. All right. I think I'm ready. Man, that was a good peanut butter sandwich. Okay, here we go. Captain Gecko, reporting as ordered, the middle-aged, bedraggled officer said as he reported in. Colonel Layout returned his salute and gave his subordinate a quick glance. After years of web wars, Gecko was still a solid soldier, frayed around the edges, but still solid. Gecko, the colonel started, this damned campaign has flipped over into quirks mode, and reports are the border just turned red. The staff fears it'll be dotted with holes after the next event loop. Gecko, you have a right to know. Frankly, we have reports. The rest was lost in the scream of a page reload. Oh, no! Someone set us up the bomb! Thank you, Maeve. Yay! Although I had to read it. I may have to read a few this week. I'm looking down the list here. Some missing paper clips. Why are you afraid of reading? Are you worried that someone will capture your voice and use it in a radio commercial for used tires? Here's someone that did record their story. I'm glad they did, because they always do such a cool job of it. It's Bot Girl. Okay, where did the recording go? Where did I put it? Oh, here it is. All right, let me dust it off. All right, and play.
We transit countless borders on the path between birth and death.
a severed cord, a breath of air, a piercing cry, a mother's breast, a leaning stand, a stumbling step, a spoken word, the alphabet, a sweetest kiss, a cap and gown, a broken heart, a wedding vow, a newborn child, a parent's grave, an empty nest, a spouse estranged, a hospice bed, the end of pain. Waves from an endless ocean, emerging from its infinite depths, rising towards the sky, falling back to sea. Form is emptiness, emptiness is form, such are we.
We only write our stories in sand. Thank you, Bot Girl, for reminding us there's only so much time. So let's just get right to the next story. Zach Man, load 'em up. We've got people needing storifying. Is that a word?
There was a billboard ad, and I wound up driving this guy to Canada so he could go surfboarding. Since he was paying for gas and meals, it was a good mini-vacation. We met at Borderlands Books, then drove north to the border. We saw someone being herded south by a pack of multicolored dogs. My new friend said, "Dude, look at that." I replied, "That's the latest measure for border security. Gives new meaning to the name Border Collies." "Dude, isn't that like that one singer?" asked the surfboarder. "Apparently, there are some people Canada doesn't want returning. And we would have gotten away with it, too, if it hadn't been for us meddling kids," replied the young man with the ascot. "No, if our getaway driver had not been such an idiot. Before that day, I thought only people in Douglas Adams' books could actually die of embarrassment until my partner did. She and I were hiding under a quilt with borders in the back seat of the getaway car. She says, 'Make a run for the border.' She died as the police pulled up our quilt and she saw we were in a Taco Bell drive-thru."
Thank you, Zach Man. Yay! Ooh, we got somebody from the distant past of this podcast coming back. I love it when that happens. That means for all this time, they've been seething with rage over being unable to record stories, or they've missed me so much they've come back because I am so, so addictive. It's Daphne Abernathy. She was taunting Will Ross, too, and Will didn't record because he's mean, but he's mean to himself. So now that Daphne has hooked up her microphone to her, whatever she's running on now, it's probably some sort of Mac. Hey, I run a Mac at work. I just, you know, I've been trying to learn it to the point where I can migrate stuff over to it and then give up this laptop, this Asus, which is about 2.5 years old, I think. Yeah, it's starting to have some issues. I'm saving the project. What is it, Tinny? She's going over to her little corner, her little safe corner, not hanging out with me. You know, that little, you know, snuggly kitten phase only lasted a few weeks for me. Although she snuggles up to her mommy when she wants to. Little shit. Right. Here's Daphne's story.
Hi, this is Daphne Abernathy of nothing. No podcasts, no blog, no website, nothing. Hi, Lawrence. Did you miss me? And this is my 100-word story for this week's challenge, Border. "Run to the border," they said. So I ran. I ran over hills, through forests, over covered bridges, into the mountains. I took shelter at night and avoided the bears. It took 3 days, but I made it. They said it would be worth the trek. I hope they didn't lie. I'm starving. I walk into the place. It was very crowded, but everyone seemed so friendly. I walked up to the counter. I want a chalupa. The man just smiled and said, "Welcome to Tim Hortons. Would you like a coffee and some Timbits?" Damn it. Wrong border.
Thank you, Daphne. I had this, upload that, and... Okay, I think I've got the cat photo in there. I'm not sure. Hopefully it works. If not, I don't know. Tinny doesn't deserve to be the internet accelerating cat of the week because she's being a real rat. You know, it's not fair. I went from having my buddy cat to, and Bruin was, you know, he'd hang out with me in the afternoons, and then Mist would be in the mornings, and then my buddy died, and then Boo got his ass killed, and then Mist is all, like, confused, and she started to being a real happy, you know, snuggly cat with me, and it's like, oh, I'll do this, and this with it, and then it's like, you know, this little shit shows up. You know, she was being all, oh, I'm gonna lay on you all the time. Oh, mommy's home, I'll lay on her. And just... it sucks. I'm gonna have to wash in catnip or something. Disgusting. Speaking of washing in catnip, how about a story from Justin, Space Turtle? He says he may get a recording in. May not. Well, he may not. I stood in the warp gate, looking at the map. Areas of blue, purple, and green overlaid the map, showing the territories and who controlled them. I decided to deploy a hot zone to support the new conglomerate in holding a facility. I deployed in my drop pod. I saw directly below me the onslaught of enemy tanks. My pod headed right toward them. I adjusted the aim, hoping I would hit one and damage or destroy the tank. Instead, the pod broke apart around me, and the tank, apparently unharmed, and the enemy cut me down in about 2 seconds. Whoops! That had to have hurt. Those enemy tanks. Thank you, Justin, and good luck next week in getting your recording in. Otherwise, it'll sound like that. You know, I'm no good at reading other people's stuff. I don't know why. And yet, people keep insisting on sending it to me. Here's someone else who insists on having me read it. Okay, so the word and playing around. Oh, Lord. I gotta read this all poet-like. Okay, let me put on a beret and see what I can do. Border by Saturay. Warm feet flat against worn old wooden floor. Palms pressed against cold glass pane. Breathe up close, leaving fog in, gone, out, cloud. Views passed across the broken lane, past the bramble guards and the sentry oaks, lay hold swells of green perfect cloaks. Over there, in the sweaty refined air, fresh leaves flutter on softest winds. Over there, as bright colored confetti, flits cardinals, golden finches, idyllic laughter wafting on currents, kept safely within boundaries. Keeping stead, the literal line so close, to touch a million miles away, the pocked pavement is drawn clear between containing them, curtailing us. Thank you, such a ray. I need to get a new beret. This one's too small. Has my head gotten bigger? It's not my hair, I'm sure of that. One person whose head has gotten bigger, though, is Muncie. He is the expanding... Oh, now I remember what he's going to call us. He's going to call us March Madnesses. Right? No? Oh, well.
Greetings, March Hares, from Munzee, here once more to deliver a story to the very much not yet killed by me host of the 100 Word Story Podcast. You guys ready for this? Then bring it! Bordering on Madness by Christopher Monroe. We have to secure our borders with madness immediately. For too long, we've allowed madmen to cross freely, taking jobs in advertising from our own native-born citizens, and this must stop. We must build a wall and patrol it with drones, lest this unfair illegal immigration continue unabated. To do otherwise would be mad. If we allow the free travel of the mad into our nation, before long we'll be nothing more than a madhouse. A madhouse! Also, make the wall soundproof. I like madness, but if I hear one step beyond one more time, I'm going to snap. Broken Escalator, available in ebook and podcast. Flash Fiction at christophermonroe.blogspot.com. Tweets at Munzee Munzee. Goodbye until next week, March Hares. And allow me in parting to leave you with this. A raven is nothing at all like a writing desk.
Thank you, Munzee. That story was so good. I wonder if you're trying to kill me with kindness. And madness. If you're going to kill me, can you wait until after opening day where the Texas Rangers are playing, I don't know, what was that team again? It's some team that's in town. My God, do they suck. And they've raised the prices on all the good games, all the good teams that they're playing, and then the ones that suck is almost as much as them, they're like $2. It's really... You know, it's a whole new kind of flexible spending kind of thing. It's bullshit. But it's supply and demand. You know how it works. Supply of bullshit, people demanding to swallow it. One man who's not bullshit is Sing. I'm going to be doing, Story Fest today at 11:30, and then Sing's going to be at 4. So, don't come to my thing, but stick around for his. He always puts a lot into it, just like this effort here on the topic of border.
Stories on the Rim by Chris Unising. On the rim of light and dark, yesterday and tomorrow, you are the sand and I am the sky. Here between us, a stack of driftwood. When the tide goes out, I take a fire stick, smouldering in coals. I nudge an ember. You blow it pink-green till it flames up like the core of an opal. Fire rainbows on and grows and spreads till the rich ember is sucked dry of its aurora borealis. Lit gas on black coal lights up the horizon, the pinkish green and red firebreak of sunset. Like this, we glow large through metaphor. on the rim of the sea. Sand, sky and bay. Of dark and epidark, we see a beach possum. It doesn't give a damn about us. The surf has a lisp. The night is a thug. The wind slaps hard across the promenade. Two walkers think big, yet talk of nothing. A gust is at large on no man's sand, blowing bad needles across the scrap kingdom. The pizza box flaps between the tussocks, wafting its grease. A pheromone come on to a lout with a snout, walking this way, walking this way. A new lord of leftovers, with tail skunk upright, has left the train. On the rim of suburb and surf, the train line rattles at the ear's border, rushing off elsewhere to avoid being relevant. Sunset shared its pink sparkle. Now darkness takes no snaps. As phone text breaks news, these breakers pound the shore. Oh, iPad, don't push your message. Yes, beach grass, prick my ass. Big receptions, small glasses of sour grapes. The wind blows raspberries. What's this? A local golf ball. Lost ambition in a tussock. Governments are wet castles. Psst, who's dumping down the next? Take this chocolate bar now. Chew a chunk of wow. An election's coming? Vote for seagulls. On the rim, sex's recreational drug. I won't say no to lying down with you, letting you fiddle with my weekend fun. When your tongue advances on my tongue, I'll gladly be your jet ski on a surf run. I'll give you casual rights to take the bait, letting you work your sand butt attitude, rake your nails, ride the Moby, yowl. Heaven's beach just wants us to stay nude. rub static from hard nipples through my chest. Get strange night vision through the will of two. Then see 5 million body hairs rise up, all erect in unison with you. On the rim of sand, the surf rolls in to tell what's classical. Afterwards might be a letdown. Stalking the wave needs strong coffee. Recuperate out of earshot while surf breakers blag at the rocks. Dogs will be walking owners, snuffling shore crab and kelp scrap. Bathers come out to play truant with their 9-to-5 jelly brain tiredness. So go steal back coin from the sea that swallows bikinis and iron men. Whale ride the wave of the bay as the muscle that flexes your moment. But know the ocean's cold shoulder cares nothing at all for us. On the rim of the real and the virtual, I remember a presiding presence. Was there a lighthouse? Where? No one can say. Beyond the rocks and detonating white. Now seldom do the boats come past this way. There is no scribble, secret map or essay. There is no lamp or flapping weather kite. Was there a lighthouse here? No one can say. They claim the beam was visible from the highway, now lit by a neon sign and traffic light. And seldom do the boats come past this way. Although its home remains a hideaway, I need to find a corridor to the starlight. If there's no lighthouse, how? No one can say. Did it once shine here, or is it hearsay? Who built the tower once so firmly upright? Now seldom do the boats come past this way. Nothing is firm beneath the Milky Way, yet I need a bridge to cross from day to night. Is there a lighthouse? Where? No one can say. If one could see it on this moonless bay, above the waves, a white road through the night. If one could see the lighthouse, he could say, and all the boats might start to come this way. At the rim of ocean, there is no beach. Just the waiting. Because the night is thick behind the pines, just wait it out upon your couch. Because the waves are ranting over the rocks, fight them back with stereo knobs. Because this house is lighting up the coast, why should a boat not come this way? Because the fire logs are made of brass, remember, comfort pays your rent. Because the night is only half the coin, go, make some tea and sit, because sunrise needs to see her in the doorway. For this, you spend your nights with words.
Thank you, Sing. That puts it all into perspective, really. One thing that really hit me hard this weekend, the alumni letter came out, and a guy that had been kind of a, I don't know, kind of a radical, free spirit, kind of partying type, Chris Outlaw. Yeah. Looks like he passed away from something. Oh, well. It's amazing how that just puts things into perspective, really. What scares me is whenever I see folks on the in memoriam list that are in classes that came after mine. That kind of spooks you. Oh, well. Oh, let's just cheer up here with a story from Lizzie. Let's not be a Debbie Downer. Let's be a Ursula Upper. I'm not sure. Who's the cheerful one? There's a Debbie Downer and then the opposite of a Debbie Downer. It's always about the Debbie Downers. By then I stop listening because it's like, oh God, the Debbie Downer talk again. I should write this down for a story.
Hello, everyone. This week, allow me a few words before I share with you what I have written. More than a story, this is a tribute to someone who saved thousands of lives from the Rwandan genocide in 1994, often with his own money. Pier Antonio Costa, a man many call righteous, was the Italian consul in Kigali at the time. In his last trip to Rwanda, he saved 375 orphans, all very, very small children. When I sat down to write this week's story with the prompt border, this true event stubbornly kept coming to my mind, and no other story was allowed to come to life. So, a bit of food for thought about a horrid time during which both the worst and the best of humankind could be seen. Here goes. They're children, children! An armed man looked at the bus driver with doped eyes. No. The frustration amongst the adults of the convoy was palpable. 375 tired and restless kids kept their eyes wide open. They were so young, piled up inside the buses, uncomfortable and very thirsty. In the control post, armed men held rusted katanas. Suddenly, a local authority talked to them. The convoy rushed away. The children finally arrived at the safety of a border and a foreign home. When interviewed, the man responsible for the convoy simply replied, "I only answer the voice of my conscience." Drop by my blog at lizziegoodcuff.blogspot.com and check out irez.com as well. Bye-bye.
If only there were more people like that. Well, okay. If only there were more good people like that and not the need for them to do such things, because people are busy being assholes to each other and chopping each other up, and that's just wrong. But the doing the good, you know? But if only, like, you know, the world was such a nice place that it would be like, I brought your trash cans back up from the curb. That way you wouldn't get a fine. Man, thank you. You know, that kind of thing. Instead of this, I prevented 370 people from getting chopped to bits by maniacs. That's just... We're in a weird... This world is a crazy, weird place. We're monsters. We're animals. Maybe I should think about that. What do you think, actual animal? And she's just sitting there in the corner. She likes that spot. Nice and safe. Safe from what? I'm not sure. Maybe she's safe from Dondo Dollinger, who has a story this week. Dondo, let it loose.
Billy had tickets to see Velvet Crush, the rock band he'd waited for years to see. The car was loaded up for the drive to the club, a couple hours away near the border. The smartphone was running GPS for the trip, which Billy was following closely. His excitement grew when the GPS spoke in a robotic voice, "Concert club 1 mile away," but his heart dropped when it continued, 200 yards beyond the border. Billy drove up to the crossing and parked on the side of the road, fearful. He'd heard too many stories about nausea and crashes at borders, and was afraid to cross.
Thank you, Dondo. Man, we're getting a long episode this week, and not because of my rambling, but because so many people have sent in stories on the topic of border. That's great! That's wonderful! That's... Oh, we've got even more! Here's one from Rick Thomas. Yep, he's back. I know, I was mean to all your Empire Avenue buddies. But look, folks, you've seen in the comments where people said, "Oh, all great stories," and "Oh, I loved every one of them," and "Oh, that was awesome," and so few of them actually said anything about any of the people who had written them. And those are the good ones, sure. And then they said, "I keep coming back every week because they're so great." Well, I'm going to do a little experiment. I'm not going to offer an Empire Avenue's mission this week. Instead, I'm going to see how many of these people actually show up again. I've got a spreadsheet. Yep, I'm going to be a dick. But one person who's not a dick, and is honest and true, and actually joined us for storytelling, because it's in his heart, it's in his blood, it's in his soul. It's the righteous Rick Thomas, who I hope, if there were a Rwandan massacre, he'd be the first to step in and rescue people. Although it was a Rwandan massacre, a Hutu, a Tutsi, or a... I hope that Tutsi from the Facts of Life is okay.
Clinton and Temple Hills were separated by a forest with a creek running right down the middle. The creek was the border for the young boys of those two towns. At the time, we knew each other only well enough to know which side of that border we didn't belong on. Get yourself caught on the wrong side of that creek, and you were setting yourself up for a real good beating. We weren't punks or bullies, just instinctively territorial. 50 years later, we're all good friends now, all good men, all grateful for the lessons we learned in those woods.
Thank you, Rick. You're a breath of fresh air. As opposed to me, who's that sharp intake of air once I get kicked in the ball. What? Is it raining or is it windy out? It had fire conditions out there on the map, which is bizarre. I mean, you know, you're not going to get fire conditions in an apartment unless somebody, you know, leaves the oven on, or they're smoking in bed like an asshole, or this or that. Right. Sorry, I'm getting on a rant again. I've got enough material in here to fill the hour without me getting off the deep end. So, let's go ahead and set up Miata. That's Miata Stardust. That's a cool name.
I stood at the back of the room. All the family was crying, but I'd seen that many times before. Actually, there were times when I had observed no one upset at a body crossing the border to the beyond. In dealings with passings, I have seen family members counting the minutes until their inheritance, and that's when, if I had my own say, I would take them all. But I have orders to obey, unfortunately. The worst deaths are when no one is there to mourn. Sadly, even though I am the death angel, I still have feelings.
Thank you, Miata. By the way, Miata had a question. Would you rather have the story in text, Word, or PDF? Okay, this is an easy one. It's an email message, right? You can include the story in the text of the message. That way I don't have to open up Word or a PDF or jump through stuff for FrameMaker Pro or any of that craziness or assembling the letters out of a can of alphabet soup. Just put it in the body of the message. It's the simplest way, and it lets me see at a glance what the story is. Also, even more importantly, if you don't record it, I see the text right there. I don't have to jump it into this attachment and that attachment. And the more crazy attachments you have, maybe they'll get lost or caught in a spam filter, or even worse, intercepted by the North Koreans, weaponized, and 5,000 spies will jump out when I open that email. Speaking of 5,000 spies, Cliff Lowe, he's the most dangerous spy, because he's the spy that loved me. You monster.
Frank was telling me how, in the old days, there weren't always clear borders between nations.
They had what they call marches. There wasn't a line on the ground as such. It was an area of land between two countries. In fact, the title Marquis was what you called the guy in charge. Things were fuzzier back then. It was good to have some space between kingdoms, so if someone trespassed, it wasn't such a big deal. The border wasn't so strict, see? That was a good thing.
I told Frank to keep his damn dog out of my yard.
Oh, dude, get that one to Drabblecast. I haven't been saying that much this week, have I? I should be saying it to every story, every good story. Every good boy deserves favor. Every good boy does fine. Every good... What's a... Octopus. Is there a B word for octopus? I don't know. Thank you, Cliff, for getting me confused about the alphabet again. Another story. Sure, why not? I know you've been wondering, where's Tom? Here he is.
Hello, Night People. Tom here. And I've got updates. Sing has passed our good friend Caleb into the 11th place. Soon we will have our 14th Golden Monkey. Chris passes young Danny Dwyer into the 15th place with 81 stories. He also beat 3rd-ranked New Mexico. Tura passes MIA Jeff of Greater Heights. And the amazing Jeffrey slides by our friend Andrew, thus entering the lair of the Golden Monkeys. Phil goes 250 in a row. Zachman goes 84 in a row. Story total 4,800. Story average of 14.72. Dangerously close to 15 authors a week. In the past 20 weeks, we have had 31 new authors post. By any measurable means, the challenge is alive and well. You're a success, Lawrence. Tonight's story is called... No, I'm right. Maintain order at the border with mortar. The banner over the wall read, both sides were fond of lobbing explosives at each other. Over time, the dead zone on either side of the wall extended to the edge of their respective capitals. Fed up with the drumbeat of war, all the mothers gathered up their babies, made for the border. To punish their flagrant act of disloyalty, both sides fired their missiles. The women at the wall watched rockets arch overhead, vaporizing their respective capitals. The women cut holes in the wall, but left the banners to fly free in full folly.
I'm a success. I'm a success. No, I'm not. The only success that we have is that we keep rising to the challenge, all of us together. It's not me that's a success. It's all of us together. Even when we take a break and walk away for a while, or come back, or maybe we use this as a stepping stone to move on to well, greater heights. Or try out the Drabblecast or Escape Pod or other venues out there. Just exploring, writing, finding the voice within us and putting it to paper or audio or skywriting or tattooing it on ourselves, which is kind of, if you're tattooing it on yourself, okay, if you're right-handed, the tattoos on your left arm are going to look really good, but with you being right-handed, the left and on the right arm, it's going to look a little wobbly, because not every, well, if you're ambidextrous, maybe, and of course the stuff, if you tattoo it on your own back, how the hell do you do that? What, with robots? I don't know. There was this problem long ago, an intelligence test, and they said, there are two barbers in town. One of them has nice-looking hair, and one of them has scraggly-looking hair. And I said I'd go to the barber with the hair that looked nice, because, well, gosh darn it, he keeps his hair so nice. And I got dinged. I got dinged for it, because it was like, no, the bad barber would go to the other good barber, and the good barber would go to bad. And I'm like, no. Can't they cut their own hair? And if the one has so much skill, he can cut his own hair in a mirror without having to go to the other guy. Because he's taught so well. You know, he probably started cutting his own hair. Maybe he shaved his head bald and he looks sexy bald, like that Picard guy. Not really Bruce Willis anymore, but you know, just, if that's your thing. Right. I should probably do another story here. Red Goddess, how is Lola doing? How do you miss something you never had? Lola is haunted by a recurring dream where she opens a door and watches her father walk away. She never sees his face, and he doesn't look back. She heard random stories about him while eavesdropping on grown folks' talk. Her mother can't even say his name without anger in her eyes. Her grandmother often says Lola has his wit and wisdom. She's flattered but frustrated to be compared to an invisible man. Even outside the hotel, she exists on the border. She is exposed to the world, yet lives in fragments. Oh, Lola, won't you ever win? Will that cruel red goddess ever let you truly live and love? You've loved already, but where is that now? Maybe for Easter. Maybe you'll get an Easter basket with a puppy and a bunny and a rocket-propelled grenade and a launch pod, and you'll go after that. No, wait, that's Justin's story. Oh, well. Thank you, Red Goddess. And thank you, Lola. Whew. Oh, wow. Caught my breath there. A little excited here. We've got Norval Joe back. What's the price of friendship? Two more stories.
Hello, all you snips and snails and puppy dog tails. This is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of the Flying Island Press, and this is my entry for the weekly challenge, number 361, with a prompt of border. Two reminders. Flagship magazine from Flying Island Press is free to download the audio or your favorite electronic format, and Master Macabre is looking for entries for our 2013 challenge. Here are my stories. Flirty lay on the bank of a small stream, dipping a net into the water. Covered from head to toe to fingertips in his second skin dermal protective suit and wearing protective goggles, he looked like a giant gray salamander. Boral stood a meter away, wearing the standard-issue orange environmental suit. You could have saved yourself a million creds and just worn a flight-issue suit like mine, Boral said. Before Flirty could respond, a man stepped out of the rainforest, pulse rifle aimed at Boral's chest, and said, in a vaguely Irish accent, Border Patrol, put your hands in the air. Okay. Widow Finkelstein hummed as she loaded the few dishes into the dishwasher, thinking it would take just enough time for Missy Angelina Finkelstein to take care of her business in the backyard. On a meager pension, the widow, Wilma, had saved for years to buy the border collie puppy. The dog was the offspring of two grand champions, and tomorrow morning she would be bred with another champion. Wilma already counted the dollars from the sale of the litter. As she opened the door, a streak of silver shot away from Missy and through a hole under the fence. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Wiener dogs. Thank you, Norval Joe. I have no idea what I'm going to create for Border. I don't know. I didn't even bother with coffee or Bailey's because I got so wired and freaked out last week. And I was so pissed off over that Empire Avenue noise of, hey, well, you know, you gotta claim it and then do it, and it's all backwards. And, well, just do it right, asshole. Hey, but it's not enough time. Oh, God. I brought it on myself. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I know, you people are probably gonna go like, oh, but it was so fun getting feedback. Yes, but honest feedback. Is that all you want? Is just empty, robotic praise? Or do you want something that's deep and mattered and a critique and this is so good and I like the imagery and this and that? And they're just clicking for points. Let me know. What do you want? It's not like I'm going to use the Empire Avenue things for anything like money or power or fame. I was just using them for this. Just to get y'all a little more feedback. Get your stories out there a little more. Maybe even invite a few more people into the mix. Rick joined us, and that's cool. That's awesome. It shows that he has soul where so many others are just, I don't know, empty. Speaking of emptiness, let's ask Planet Z what he thinks.
If you meet Buddha on the road, kill him. I was driving down by the border when I saw him, the Buddha, so I swerved and hit him. I had to beat him with the tire iron a few times. Now that I have a chance to look him over, I realize something. He's not the Buddha. So I tossed him into the trunk and drove out to the where I buried the others. They weren't Buddha either. I'll keep looking, though. Maybe one day I'll find him. The Buddha on the road. And I will kill him.
Thank you to everyone who is a part of the weekly challenge this week on the 100 Word Stories podcast. You can go to the website at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com for links to authors' websites, the text of the stories, an archive of shows, social network sharing options, and a whole bunch of other stuff you won't bother with anyway. If this show inspired you to write on the topic of border, send in the story with a recording, and I'll add it to the main feed all by its lonesome. Until next week, where the topic is going to be a pick two, this is Lawrence Simon saying thank you for listening, and as always, keep it brief.